Well, this morning it's been good to be here. Been challenged with service thus far, especially as we think about the commitment of these two young sisters and their commitment to serving the Lord. And my mind, as I was thinking about coming together for special service like this, we like baptism services. There's something that is inspiring. There's something that is challenging. There's something that wakens within us a renewed zeal to serve the Lord. When we see individuals, we see the next generation, we see young people who embrace the truth. And there's something that grips our hearts and helps us to understand that we, as the generation who is leading the way of today, we as that generation have a responsibility to teach and to preach and to share the gospel to the world and to our families if this blessing that we've enjoyed is going to continue. I'd like to open the message this morning by reading a number of scriptures. And I want you to think, as we read these scriptures, I want you to think about the context of the scriptures. I want you to think about what's in focus as we read the word. But I'd like to read a number of scriptures to lay a groundwork for the message this morning. I want to turn, first of all, to Mark chapter 8. We're going to pull out four verses here in Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 34 of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, this is Jesus, when Jesus had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And we're going to just read a couple of different passages right quickly here without a lot of comment. We're going to turn now to Mark chapter 10, and I want to start reading at verse 17 in Mark chapter 10. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. And in some of the other gospels, there's another phrase that says, what lack I yet? This man understood there was something missing in his life. And he came to Jesus to find that. And here in verse 20 it says, 21 it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And break off reading there. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. We're just going to get one verse here, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'll just read Romans 8:13 as well. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're in Galatians, we'll go to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read a number of verses here in Colossians chapter 3. Let's just start at verse 1 here in Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm just going to insert here, verse 1 could be reworded and say, if ye are born again, if you are a Christian, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And one more passage we want to look at yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read a couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 yet. And we're going to break in at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, and he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And we're going to break off reading there. I've titled the message this morning, "Is There a Cross in Our Gospel?" Is there a cross in our gospel? We noticed as we went back, as we started there in Mark chapter 8, Jesus called his disciples and those who were listening to them, to him speak, he called them to a cross. He said there in Mark chapter 8 that we need to pick up our cross daily and follow him. Mark chapter 8, just turn there and I'll get that clear in my mind here. Mark chapter 8, he said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now you may wonder this morning, why do we ask ourselves this question? Why do we need to ask ourselves this question? Is there a cross in our gospel? Of course there's a cross in our gospel. And if I was to ask you to share what the gospel message is in just a few sentences, I think we all would agree, we would respond with something like, mankind fell in the garden. There was a point in time when man chose to sin, and each one of us have chosen to sin. And God loved the world, loved us as sinful individuals so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we would understand, we would know as we share that gospel message, that it took the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his shed blood to redeem mankind and restore our relationship with Christ. I'd like to share this morning that I believe that if our gospel ends with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and we share it from that perspective, we're missing another dynamic of the cross. And it's been alluded to this morning in our devotions. Thank you for sharing those verses from Mark chapter 14. I would like to suggest this morning that the cross that Jesus faced, the larger cross that he faced, was faced in the garden. It was faced in the garden. When Jesus was there and he knew what was in store for him, he knew what the plan was ahead, and his human nature and his body, everything within him, his humanity, was repulsed or was pushed to the point of sweating great drops of blood. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We read those verses in Mark chapter 10 that line up, that have a little different thought maybe than what this verse here does. But I believe that Jesus shared here in Mark chapter 8 about whosoever will deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said those words in Mark chapter 8. But when we went to Mark chapter 10, he showed us by example what he meant. And when that rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to be right with God. I want to make it through to glory someday. And Jesus said, well, you know what the law says. What's God require of you? And the man answered correctly. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth. But what lack I yet? I notice there's something missing in my life. And Jesus told him, there's something in your life that's more important to you than what I am, what God is. And he said, take those things, take that, those possessions that you have, and call in the auctioneer and turn it into cash and use it to help the poor. And the rich young man walked away. He said, I can't. I won't do it. He wanted salvation. He wanted Jesus to die on the cross for his sins. But he didn't want to die on the cross. Himself to die on the cross. In order to experience salvation. And to inherit eternal life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We read a number of verses this morning that helped us to understand the reality that God asked his son to die on the cross, but he asked every son and daughter of his to die on the cross. You see, in Galatians 2, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In other words, he's saying, just as Christ had to give of himself, just as Christ died on the cross, I need to crucify my human nature. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. My body is still functioning, but my will is crucified. Here in Romans chapter 12, when I started looking at the New Testament and started thinking about, is there a cross in my gospel, in our gospel, I began to realize that there's a lot of verses that we could look at, and there's a lot of verses that don't need a lot of explaining to go along with them. We start in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is written to brethren. Who are the brethren? Those are the ones that are redeemed. Those are the ones who have yielded their life to Jesus Christ. They've cried out to God for forgiveness. And they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Paul says here to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I need you to get a hold of this. I need you to understand this is central to your salvation. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, your life, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Those things that used to drive your life, they need to stop. Those things that control you, the things that were the driving force of your life, of this world, there needs to be a change of allegiance. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How high is that? Not more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he goes on and he talks about church membership. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't just put a smile on your face. Don't just greet that brother that you're sitting beside this morning and have animosity in your heart. Let love be without dissimulation. No front putting on. Let it be real. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And he goes on and he talks about our work. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, distributing to the necessity of saints. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. In other words, don't feel like you have to have the last word, or you have to be in control, or you need to play a position of authority inside the church, inside the brotherhood. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be willing to serve in the lowest ways. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now this chapter here, Romans chapter 12, if we read it, we see a pretty broad picture of what is expected of the Christian. We see a pretty broad picture of how what should be our thought process and what should be our our goal and how we should respond within the brotherhood. I ask us this question again this morning. Is there a cross in our gospel? I believe that, like I said earlier, the cross that Jesus faced, the greater cross that he faced, was the cross he faced in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." This morning, I have a very simple message. I'm concerned today that you and I understand that as we come to the foot of the cross and we yield our lives to Jesus, and as we look at him and through faith in the blood that is shed, I'm concerned that we understand that with redemption, with the gift of the blood of Jesus Christ, with redemption, that we give up our rights of individuality. As we stand there before the cross of Christ, and as Jesus is there and he's bleeding on the cross of Calvary, and he looks down to you and I, and we come to him in faith, and we say, "Lord, cleanse our hearts and make us new creatures." And we cry out to him to restore us and restore the relationship between us and God. We need to understand that before he can cleanse our hearts, we need to grapple with this truth where we come to a place where we say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done." I believe the gospel of the cross of Christ includes more than the suffering inflicted by the nails in his hands and feet. It includes more than the blood flowing from his pierced side, though that is very central to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is a surrender of the will, and it includes laying down everything we claim as our own and accepting God's will for our life, no matter what he deems is best for us. The cross of Jesus Christ is a surrender of the will and includes laying down everything we claim as our own and accepting God's will for our life, no matter what he deems is best for us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. The cross is where we like our Lord, come to the end of ourselves and cry, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You take control, Lord. You bring the circumstances that honor your plan. You use these things and the finances that you've entrusted to me for your glory. You heal my body if it be your will, and if not, please give me the grace to suffer. You decide if I serve you quietly in this community or outside my comfort zone in a foreign land. You choose, Lord, how many hours of work I get in this week or how much I get done in my home by the number of hurting people you send my way. Not my will, but thine be done. This morning I would like to leave a challenge with us as we think about these two sisters who knelt before us. And they said, "We're going to be faithful until death." And you and I, as members of a church, as we've been baptized and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, and we've been baptized and we've received the cleansing from sin, God is calling you and I to a cross. And there may be nothing where we say, "No, Lord, not that one." Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Jesus said, "For whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So let's let that challenge be part of our lives today. I hope that this morning I've lit a little spark in our hearts as we read the scriptures, as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, as we're given opportunities to be Jesus' hands and feet here on earth this week, as we open up the Word, and as we read God's Word and it speaks to our hearts, let's embrace the cross of Christ. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So may we use the example of Jesus as we think about his life, as he came to the garden and he faced extreme difficult circumstances. He said, if it be possible, God, if there's another way, but if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Is there a cross in our gospel? I believe there is. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear God, this morning, as we bow before you, we think about our lives. We think about our commitments. I just confess, Lord, that there's a lot of distractions here on this earth. I confess, Lord, that many times when things get difficult, we look around and say, why me, Lord? Help us, Lord, to rather look on the example of Christ. When we're faced with difficult things in life, when you put your finger on something that's precious to us, help us to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Use us, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.